season that was always the most welcome to see coming, and the first to say goodbye.
Where are you going?
The bee had changed directions, skittering purposely back the way it came. I had perhaps foolishly believed it to be something like myself, having left the morning routine behind to seek out simpler pleasures, abandoning the buzzing hive for the warm respite of a walk across the leaves. Perhaps it was just stupid. My eyes caught a flicker of movement, and I watched as a little sandpiper hopped out of the brush, drawing closer and closer to the log where I sat. It hadn't yet seen my bee, but at this point, I was prepared to intervene if it did. One learned to foster a sort of detachment when it came to such things, as the laws of our land were simple. Eat or be eaten. But I had never been very good at those lessons. I was a child who'd baited the garden path with honey and brought in strays after every storm. My adolescence had brought no greater maturity. I'd simply learned to be craftier in my aims. The strays were tended in the forest. The bee was already named, but I kept it to myself. A rush of wings and a muted crackle. The sandpiper had speared itself a mayfly. Just a stone's throw away, the bee ambled closer to the water, never seeing the danger just beyond. With an idle curiosity, I abandoned my perch and sank to the leaves beside it, stretching on my stomach and watching as those whisker-thin legs heaved its body, fat and swollen with pollen, over one leaf and onto the next. The effort must have been astounding. A tiny miracle hidden in the underbrush, unnoticed as the rest of the world hurried by. When it felt the cool of my shadow, it froze a solitary moment, then took suddenly to the air. In the blink of an eye, it was gone. Safe travels, I murmured, staring at the place it had disappeared. The sun had already risen high above the forest, glints of light spearing through the canopy of leaves. I had done something I shouldn't. I had left the bustle of the village, the duties and chores that hounded me, and ventured away on my own. It was such a lapse that no one would think to challenge it. They would assume I was off attending some task and think nothing more. Even if they had thought to send someone, they never would have guessed to look for me here. The water splashed at my feet, cool and unending, winding ever onward to bear the northern ice melt into the warmer summer plains. I stared from a distance, watching as it spilled noisily over the rocks. 16 years I had lived alongside the river. Never once had I gotten fully inside. Why not today? The thought was sudden, arresting, breaking over me like a fever that had been too long kept at bay. While my brain reflexively balked at the idea, a more sensible part couldn't find any reason not to. The forest was empty, and settlement was drowning in preparations. I could slip in and out without anyone being the wiser. I could be dry by the time I made it home. The seconds ticked past, one after another. Then, with a sudden burst of determination, I pushed to my feet. My hair was already pinned half back, but I took out the band and let it drop past my shoulders, unlacing the boots that encased my feet and leaving them on the shore. A kind of giddiness had taken hold of me. My body was thrumming, and my heart was pumping too fast. I took a step, and then another. The pulse of adrenaline had bolstered me. But beneath the summer sun, my skin was clammy and pale. My fingers fumbled with the laces on my tunic as the frothing water lapped over my toes. It was freezing, exhilarating, inviting. Too much. I stepped back just as quickly, breathing as hard as if I'd run all the way from the road. The laces were abandoned and the boots were snatched back off the rocks. But a second before I could cram them over my feet, a distant chorus of laughter filtered through the trees. I went perfectly still, tense and bristling, like a rabbit.